Injured in a car accident? It's about money. Your money. Your settlement. We cap attorney's fees at 30% of the first million. Any recovery above that is all yours. No recovery? You pay no fees or costs. We strive to get you more at Lawyer Up 904, Jacksonville.
When I look at the guys that are in there, my numbers was better than 16 other guys that was already currently in the Hall.
Put some respect on my name.
Hall of Fame. Put that man in the Hall of Fame. Hall of Fame. Put that man in the Hall of Fame.
Potatoes, tomatoes. And a handoff to Taylor, looking for room over the left. Finds a hole, he's free. Look at him go. Break a tackle, he's on the run at the 50. Get the block, he's gone. 40, 30. Red to the 25 and the 20. To the outside, 15, 10, 5. Touchdown! Red Taylor on the first play of the game.
That man in the Hall of Fame.
Look at all these other guys. They're trying to put in the Hall of Fame that somehow make it to the finalist room.
Bye-bye, Rock Marion chasing. Rock Marion still chasing. Gets help from Smith. Touchdown. No flag. A 90-yard run.
He's the same dude that I murk every Sunday.
Put that man in the Hall of Fame. Hall of Fame.
XL 92.5 FM presents Jaguars Today with your host Mike Dempsey, Tony Smith, and E to the T.
All right, if you're wondering what the original lyrics were, now you know. There you have it right there. First, Tony, I thought when E.T. was going on about putting this man in the Hall of Fame, I thought he was talking about Leon Searcy for his outstanding mac and cheese dish that he served us yesterday.
Leon could go somewhere else.
It's not the Hall of Fame?
No.
All right. I don't like mac and cheese anyway. I guess I liked his a little bit more, or liked these a little bit less. I don't know.
Yeah. After you had left after the competition, a few minutes later, Leon came in to let E.T. know, about who had won the mac and cheese competition, and the two of them went back and forth for about 5 minutes.
Yeah, I challenged him in some other things.
Did you?
Did.
Is there going to be a sprint in street shoes?
That was the very first one that I challenged him to.
I assumed so.
And Leon was just like, I would have taken you down when I was your age.
Oh, you won't.
Yeah.
Oh, you won't, big fella.
All right, let's go,
And Leon was like, let's see how many times you can put up 225.
Yeah, no, let's pass.
Let's pass. How many bottles of water you can drink in one day? Leon's famous for that. All right, E.T., we need help right now.
Right now.
Right this moment, because we have moved the breakfast bowl up to the only time that we can do it this week, and that's 12 minutes away. So if you would like to be the listener participant today, you need to call E.T. right the heck now at 641-1010. He'll take arguably the third caller. He might take the first one. I don't know.
I'm taking number one.
He's taking whoever he can get right now at 641-1010. He will give you a copy of the Excel spreadsheet that has all the players that you're not allowed to draft. Mike DiRocco, we're going to try to do this a little bit later in the show, but there's a lot of press conferences today as they've moved up the schedule with Thanksgiving coming up tomorrow for the Jacksonville Jaguars. We'll have Doug Peterson talking at 10:30 this morning. So E.T.'s on the phone with somebody. I'm going to assume he's getting them squared away, and we'll go drafting. Listeners, we'll have the first pick this week.
They will, yep. Mm,
they've been on a little bit of a slide.
They have, yeah.
You know what I liked? I made a move when the top and bottom scores were dropped. I made a nice little move up the standings right there. I don't feel like I'm so far back in this whole thing now. It's been a slow process for your boy.
Yeah, tightened everything up, yep.
It did. So anyway, that's what's coming up here in a few minutes. We've got the Chad and Sandy Real Estate Question of the Day already out there for you on Twitter, and just asking what we typically do on the Wednesday before Thanksgiving. What are you most thankful for as a Jaguars fan? Specifically, as a Jaguars fan, we're all thankful for our families and a place to live and all those things, but that's not directly related to your Jaguar fandom, unless it is. Maybe you met your your significant other at a Jaguar game, something like that. And
sure.
That's something to be thankful for. Sure. Just share with us what it is today that makes you most thankful to be a Jacksonville Jaguar fan. We'll have John Osier. That may be the thing you're most thankful for, the person you're most thankful for, at least. He's going to join us in the second hour of the program today. Let you know what he heard from Doug Peterson. I know the coordinators are speaking today as well, Tone, so they've moved everything up. We're off then rest of the week until Sunday.
Yep.
Are you high school football in this weekend?
Yeah, Bowles has their regional final matchup on Friday night against Reigns on Friday at 7:30, and I'll be doing the broadcast of that. Yep.
All right. Well, there you go. We will not be here tomorrow and Friday. Mm-hmm. So last chance to get in today if you want to talk some Jaguar football with the crew here on Jaguars Today. It was fun doing our Halloween cook-off. I could have gone with Joe Coward's turkey and Donna Murphy's mashed potatoes and nothing else. Like, and I would have been good with that. You know, I'm not a big green bean guy.
We had a lot of green beans.
A lot of green bean dishes.
Yeah.
Brussels sprout dishes. Blah.
I don't mind any of that. It was
pumpkin
all good.
Pumpkin pie.
Yeah.
Blah.
Yeah.
Don't like any of that nonsense.
It was Lauren's pumpkin pie, right?
Yeah.
It was like a mousse pie.
Something like that.
Yeah, something like that. And as I said when we were doing it yesterday, I hate pumpkin pie. Like, I really do. It might be my least favorite pie on the planet. Is pumpkin pie. So when it got put in front of me, I was like, oh no, you know, like I don't want to have to be mean to anybody about it. And look, I tried it and seriously was the best pumpkin anything I've ever had.
Yeah. Cause I felt like, cause you couldn't taste any pumpkin.
Yeah.
Like whether it was
maybe it was
or
the
cinnamon
mousse
or
whatever
it was.
Yeah. It was different than a typical pumpkin pie. It was the best pumpkin anything I've had. I finished my slice. I never do that with any kind of pumpkin pie.
It lost to a store-bought chocolate mousse pie, though.
Yeah, like it's like, what are you going to do? It's,
I mean, come on. It's chocolate mousse pie. Going to eat it.
Bunch of whipped cream. There's a foot of whipped cream on top of it.
It was quite the concoction, but you know, Jack O'Brien couldn't have been bothered to make a pie.
Apparently not.
And you sign up to make a pie, and then you don't make a pie. I don't know how that whole situation went down. All right. We've got our guy. We're going to take a break right now, E, so we can get D-Rock in and out on time so he can ask very pertinent questions to Doug Peterson this morning. We're going to put D-Rock on the spot and make him tell us what the first question he's going to ask Doug Peterson today. But we'll go drafting next for the Breakfast Bowl, and we'll talk Jaguar football with you for the remainder of the show today as they get ready to take on the Ravens coming out of their bye week. You can hit us up today at 641-1010 on the phone lines or the text line designed by Lifetime Enclosures. Or hit us up on Twitter at MD_1010XL, at 1010XL, Fat Tony, and at IME to the T.
Put that man in the Hall of Fame.
All right. Double D, by the way, has a day off, so happy Thanksgiving to Donovan Darius and his family as well. Jaguars today off and rolling on 1010X.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, and beautiful people all across the world. Let's get ready for the Breakfast Bowl Challenge!
All Jags, all NFL. Jaguars today on 1010XL.
All right, this is the multi-continental sensation that is sweeping the globe. The Breakfast Bowl, what are we, year four on the Breakfast Bowl, is where we're at right now. And Mike DiRocco is joining us live from TIAA Bank Field this morning. D-Rock, how are you?
I'm doing great, guys. How are y'all?
Excellent. What's the first thing we're asking Doug Peterson today?
Any starting lineup changes anticipated for the upcoming game against the Ravens?
Nice job on the spot there, D-Rock. All right, before we welcome in Tommy, Tony, if you could recap what went down last week in the Breakfast Bowl.
Sure. Halfway through our two-week competition to determine who's going to be buying breakfast next week, Dempsey with a 26-point lead over the field at this point heading into the back half of this competition, 95.76 last week. I came in second, edging out D-Rock by about half a point, 69.74 to 69.12. E.T., with 61.44 last week in the listeners' team. Back-to-back kind of slumping weeks for the listeners, 50.58.
That's a damn shame.
Yeah. Slump
damn
dog shame. Millionaire.
Slump, exactly. E.T. escapes having to buy breakfast, but will his low total from week 11 hold him back in week 12? Let's welcome in Tommy in Neptune Beach. Good morning, Tommy. How are you?
I'm doing great. How about yourself?
We're fantastic. Appreciate you joining us on short notice. E.T. gave you the document. I trust that you know which players you cannot take today.
Yeah, correct.
All right. Now, we'll be a little bit lenient. We may let you slide on one. If you, well, you know, you say the guy's had 10 minutes to put his list together. Tommy, along with every listener participant, if the listeners win collectively for the whole year, will get invited to play in our Jaguars Today head-to-head fantasy leagues every year, of which are usually seriously about a couple hundred people trying to get into.
Yep.
So that would take up most of the spots. The draft order today, Tommy in Neptune Beach, E.T., D-Rock, Tony, and myself. Tommy, if you are ready, you can start us off, buddy.
I'll go with Rashad White.
Okay, Rashad White. Tommy playing the game right there. E.T.
Tua.
Tua, he says emphatically. All right. D-Rock, what you got?
I'm going to shock the world and take a Jags player with my first pick. I'm going to go Travis Etienne.
Mm. Was Lamar Jackson already taken on your list? Or?
Yes, he was.
Was he? Just checking. All right. Tony Smith.
I will go James Conner.
Connor off the board. All right, I'm gonna go. I'm gonna go Josh Jacobs, running back, and then I am going to go with Pat Freiermuth, a tight end. Back to you, Tone.
Writing that one in, and I will go Tony Pollard, please.
Okay, Tony Pollard is off the board. D-Rock, got ETN.
Yeah, last week I gave E.T. this guy, but I'm going to take Amon-Ra this week.
Okay, Amon-Ra, huh. St. Brown is off the board. All right, E.T., you got Tua.
I also have Damian Pierce.
Damian Pierce it is. All right. Back to you, Tommy, in Neptune Beach. You got Rashad White, and you get back-to-back picks here, sir.
I'll go with Mike Evans.
Okay.
And Ramondre Stevenson.
You got it. All right, Ramondre Stevenson. Any chance you're a Bucs fan, Tommy?
No, I'm a Jags fan.
All right, just checking. First two picks for Bucs was all. All right, back to you, E.T. You got Tua and Pierce.
Tua and Pierce on the Goon Squad. You know, I'm a pair Tua up with Jalen Waddle.
Okay. D-Rock, ETN, and Amon-Ra St. Brown. Who's next?
Yeah, I'm going to go DK Metcalf in the flex.
Okay, Metcalf it is. Scratch him off the board. Tony, who was your first pick?
James Conner.
James Conner. Okay, so you got Conner and Pollard. So you got flex and running back covered.
Yep, I will go Terry McLaurin, please.
Okay. All right, well, it doesn't really matter which order I go here. I'm going to go with Tyler Lockett in my pocket. And I'm going to go with Justin Herbert at quarterback. Back to you, Tone.
Foster Moreau.
The island of Foster Moreau. All right. D-Rock, tight end or a quarterback?
Let me have a little Dalton Schultz.
Schultz knows nothing about fantasy football. E.T., need a tight end or a flex?
I'm going to go with Tyler Higbee.
Higbee. All right, back to you, Tommy. You got Rashad White, Mike Evans, and Ramondre Stevenson. Get your quarterback and your tight end here.
I got Trevor Lawrence.
Okay.
Evan Ingram.
Big hookup. All right, E.T., flex.
In the flex, I'm going to throw, who am I going to throw in there? Do I want to do that? I can't do that.
I don't know.
I'm going to go with, let's go with Aaron Jones.
Okay. Aaron Jones it is. D-Rock, quarterback.
Yeah, let me have a little Pat Mahomes, please.
All right, Pat Mahomes. Tony, quarterback.
Josh Allen.
Josh Allen knew he was taking him. He's the only one who had him left. Oh! Let's see here. I'm going to go. I'm going with Latavius Murray at flex. All right, here's what we got. Tommy has Trevor Lawrence, Rashad White, Mike Evans, Evan Ingram, and Ramondre Stevenson. ET's got Tua, Damian Pierce, Jalen Waddle, Tyler Higbee, Aaron Jones. D-Rock goes with Patrick Mahomes, Travis Etienne, Amon-Ra St. Brown, Dalton Schultz, and DK Metcalf. Tony's got Josh Allen, Tony Pollard, Terry McLaurin, Foster Moreau, and James Conner. And I've got Justin Herbert, Josh Jacobs, Tyler Lockett, Pat Freiermuth, and Latavius Murray. All right, D-Rock, how about that? We got you in and out in like 6 minutes. That is record timing right there.
You guys are the best, and I hope everybody listening and you guys have a happy Thanksgiving.
Likewise to you, and I'll be very happy and thankful if you're buying us all breakfast next week. So thank you in advance if that happens. All right.
Yeah, that's just a wonderful sentiment. I appreciate that.
We love you, brother, and happy Thanksgiving to you, and go grill Doug Peterson, okay?
All right, we'll do. We'll roast him. How about that?
All right, there you go. Fantastic. Tommy, we appreciate you playing this morning. Being that you are a Jags fan and you've got Trevor Lawrence and Evan Engram, how do you feel about their chances against Baltimore this week?
Pretty good. I'm glad you took my call. I'm actually delayed on a flight right now. Doing the fantasy draft on an airplane.
That's awesome, brother. You did a great job. Just goes to show you can multitask and make good use of your time there. I think you did an excellent. I'm pretty sure you didn't take anybody that had already been selected by that team.
No,
which is always the big question. So, Tommy, we wish you the best. Happy Thanksgiving to you and yours, man.
I appreciate it. You too.
All right, buddy. Have a good weekend. There he goes off to the races for Tommy. Off to the friendly skies, hopefully. And what a surprise. Plane is delayed the day before Thanksgiving.
Right,
plane's
yeah.
Delayed every damn time now, it seems. Those takeoff times are mere suggestions. All right, so we got the Breakfast Bowl all wrapped up. Freddie T, Hall of Fame semifinalist. Mm-hmm. Tony, do you feel like this time is going to be different than the previous three semifinal appearances for Fred?
Tough, right? Like, it's still just tough. I sincerely believe, and we've talked about it before, the moment that Fred Taylor starts getting discussed in the room, it's game over, right? Like, once he makes,
it to the finalists.
That finalist list, I think once he gets to that point, it's over. Fred Taylor's going to be a Hall of Famer. It's tough to be among those guys that are going to be discussed in that room, right? Like, once you get to this point in the process, especially, you're not going to have a whole lot of guys that you're going, why is this guy being discussed for the Pro Football Hall of Fame, right? It's not easy. From this point forward, but I'm hopeful for him, and I do believe it. If he gets in the room, he's going to be a Hall of Famer.
Yeah, that's the problem. Like, I'm looking at now, this is one person's opinion. You know, mm-hmm. You don't ascribe this entirely to NFL.com, but Adam Rank, who honestly is more of a fantasy football writer than anything, should have more appreciation for Fred as a fantasy writer. Out of the 28 semifinalists, has him ranked 25th as in terms of most deserving. I don't know, man. It's easy for us being close to the situation to have an affinity for Fred Taylor, but I certainly don't think he's behind some of these other players that I hear their names and I'm like, yeah, good player. I don't think Hall of Famer. I obviously, if you watch Fred, like Anquan Boldin was a really good player.
Yeah.
He didn't strike me as a Hall of Famer. You know, that's me. I don't know. I mean, the numbers might tell a different story, but that's just one example, and that's one guy that he's got ranked ahead of Freddie T. It's going to be tough, but you're right. Once he gets in that room, maybe it'll be a different story, but you got to get in that room. What is it, 15 finalists will come off of this list and get debated by the Pro Football Hall of Fame crew. He's got Devin Hester as his number one. Like, I believe Devin Hester should be in the Hall of Fame.
Sure.
But I don't know if he's the number one
right.
guy in the entire group, but I do think that, you know, in my lifetime, I was talking about this the other night on our Sirius XM show, because you got Cordarrelle Patterson sets the record with his ninth kickoff return
yep.
for a touchdown.
Yep.
There was no one in my lifetime watching the NFL that, with the exception of a brief period with Dante Hall in Kansas City, that, like, you didn't, at least for me, like, I didn't take that break. Oh, they're going to punt it away, right? There's going to be a timeout coming. When Devin Hester was back to return, you didn't
sure.
go.
Because yeah.
you thought, like, if any time a big play is going to get made, this is the most likely time. And I think he changed games and changed the way teams played against the teams he was on dramatically. I think he belongs in the Pro Football Hall of Fame. I don't know if he's the most qualified candidate in this entire group here, though.
No, that'd be a tough argument to make, I think. It's just hard for a specialist to be that, right? And Devin Hester was a Hall of Fame level return specialist. He wasn't a Hall of Fame receiver.
No.
He wasn't a Hall of Fame defensive back. He's a Hall of Fame return guy.
And that's what he would go in as.
Right. And it's hard to – I don't think it's difficult to make the argument for why Devin Hester deserves to be in the Hall of Fame. I'm with you. I think it's hard to say, look at this whole list of guys. He's the most deserving of anybody on the list, I think, is a tough debate to make, which is part of the reason why I think once Fred Taylor gets in the room that he's going to get in. Right? Guys who are playing positions where the numbers are just there. It's easy to just look at it and say, this is what the numbers are. This is where this guy stacks up against the other guys in these numbers at that position. Those guys typically move through that process a little bit more quickly than everyone else does. You just got to get yourself in the room first. And the final 26 is not the room. Right, it's the debating who the guys are that we're going to let into the Hall of Fame this year. Everyone vote, right? That's the room. And I think once you get these wide receivers, running backs, quarterbacks, once they get in that room for that discussion, they generally get into the Hall of Fame.
Well, the only other running back on this list is Ricky Waters. Mm-hmm. And I don't get the sense that there's any kind of groundswell for Ricky Waters out there. Ricky Waters is a very good player.
Absolutely.
Go look at his numbers. Very, very good player. Five Pro Bowl trips, right? And so from that standpoint, if you're looking at accomplishments, and we've talked about for years the reasons why Fred didn't get more Pro Bowl nods. Was it a small market effect? Sure. Did he come on late in seasons oftentimes? Yes. After voting had closed. Did he also just play in an era where the AFC was stacked with guys going off? And I bring this up every time we talk about Fred's candidacy, but you know, I love Fred, and I think he's well-deserving of the Hall of Fame. I don't know if he was deserving of many more Pro Bowl nods than he got. Going back, if you look at his numbers in the years that he didn't make the Pro Bowl, there were generally 3 to 4 running backs in the AFC that were doing something ridiculous at that point in time. You know, Priest Holmes and Larry Johnson, and back then Sean Alexander was in the AFC with Seattle, and you just had guys that put up cartoonish numbers for a period of time.
Sure,
LaDainian Tomlinson, right? I mean, guys pushing 30 touchdowns in a season. But the eyeball test is Fred all day to me over a guy like Ricky Waters. I mean, look, I think to me, if you look at the ones that are pretty automatic, I think Joe Thomas, who was, what was he, a 6-time first-team All-Pro, 2-time second-team All-Pro.
Yeah.
At left tackle, Darrell Revis. I mean, they coined a term, Revis Island, to express how dominant he was in coverage. You just didn't even dare throw the ball at him.
For sure, yeah.
Those are the top two to me. I think Patrick Willis is probably deserving. If we're going to defend Tony Boselli's candidacy, hard time arguing with a 5-time first-team All-Pro in 8 seasons, right? I mean, that's really the only knock. Mm-hmm. Against Patrick Willis. I think if Patrick Willis had played 5 more years, he would have been a shoe-in. He still wouldn't be eligible right now. But if he had played 5 more years on top of the ones he had already played, he'd be probably a first ballot guy by the time he rolled around.
DeMarcus Ware probably towards the top of the list of guys, too.
Yeah, was he 120-ish sacks, something like that, I'm guessing, you know. Got a
here.
Super Bowl ring.
138 and a half. He was a 9-time Pro Bowler, 4-time first-team All-Pro.
Hard to argue with that candidacy. But again, you're only going to get 6 of these guys off this list getting in. That's why, I mean, I look at it. It's not the year where, like, you're going to have years where you have a Peyton Manning and a Tom Brady and the guys like that you know are just, you don't even need to discuss
those guys.
The guy
introducing him walks up and says, Peyton Manning.
Peyton Manning, case closed, on to the next one, and it's unanimous, and it's deservedly so. You know, I don't think that's the case with Joe Thomas, but I still think he's taking a spot.
I'm with you.
You know, and I think it's going to be tough for Fred, but, you know, I think Tony getting in doesn't mean all of a sudden they're going to go, okay, we got Tony in, we're going to get Fred in, next year will be Jimmy Smith. It may be a process, but it doesn't hurt to have one member from that Jaguar team in the late 90s already enshrined now. In Canton, Ohio. All right, if you want to get in and you want to talk about the question of the day presented by Chad and Sandy Real Estate, you're welcome to do that, which is simply, what are you most thankful for as a Jacksonville Jaguar fan? We can also get into the matchup with the Baltimore Ravens this weekend with the Jags coming off of the bye. All that and more coming your way at 641-1010 if you want to be a part of it. This is Jaguars Today on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
Now more Jaguars Today on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
All right, happy Thanksgiving week, everybody. ET, usually come Thursday and Friday, we plug your call-in line pretty significantly. Of course, we didn't have to do that last week because no addition of come on, somebody. We need a little early week enthusiasm out of the callers at 207-7071. What do you need them to do today?
I need them to say what they chest, say what they're grateful for. Let us know. We got a big game. We need to get behind our team. Come on, somebody.
All right, little enthusiasm. Where are you at coming out of the bye week? Give a hearty Duval and a come on, somebody in there, and maybe we'll hear you on Sunday's pregame.
You kind of sounded like Hoove a little bit when you said that. Come on, somebody.
Come on. E.T., it's your boy Hoove.
Hoove, baby, here.
Hoove, baby. Hoove, baby. We love you, Hoove. Appreciate you checking in on a weekly basis. So call E.T., get fired up, whatever that entails. Maybe you're off today, have a few pops or whatever, and call 207-7071. He can edit it. Don't worry. Whatever you say, we'll take care of you down the line. All right, here's what Doug Peterson is saying, Tony. I'm not shocked. You know, as Mike DiRocco joined us about 30 minutes ago, was it that long ago? Gosh, 20 minutes ago. I don't know. I've lost track of time now.
It was about 30 minutes
ago. Was it about 30 minutes ago? Man.
Coming up on it, yeah.
All right. Anyway, he said he'd asked Doug about lineup changes, particularly on the defensive side of the ball, right? Well, here's a quote from Doug Peterson from John Shipley and others out there, John Shipley of SI. Says that you're going to see, according to Peterson, more of a rotation with linebackers Devin Lloyd and Chad Mumma. Said that could especially be valuable in a week against an offense like Baltimore's. That's great. That may be the case, mm-hmm. right? But wouldn't it be more valuable if the guy you gave three draft picks to trade up into the first round could actually just play full time? Wouldn't that be more valuable?
Yeah, it would be more valuable if they weren't apparently trying to do things on defense that he's just not as good at as Chad Mumma. And I don't know why you draft him.
Why do you give three picks then to move up into the first round to get a guy who is not a complete player,
and
if that's
why
how you feel?
This ineffective play showed up a month ago. It wasn't around in the first month of the season. What weren't you doing defensively in the first month of the season that Devin Lloyd was excelling at that in the last month you've decided, no, this is who we're going to be, so we got to get him off the field? Like, what is happening with whatever they're doing with that defense and whatever the zone man up concepts are that they're running right now that Devin Lloyd just doesn't seem to do well with? It feels like he's a man coverage linebacker and they're asking him to do zone man stuff, and it's confusing him.
Is it just maybe a case that teams watched a few games worth of film and said, aha,
maybe
here's where we're getting this guy, and the occasions when they're doing this, this is where he is deficient, and teams are trying to attack that? Because as it stands now, you gave your second, fourth, and sixth round picks to go get Devin Lloyd, right? Well, you gave your one of your third round picks to get Chad Mumma. So what you're saying is, by rotating these guys, we invested our second, third, fourth, and sixth round picks for one position.
Mm-hmm.
For one position to get two guys that in combination we hope are good enough to man that one position.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if that's – look, I want Devin Lloyd to be a superstar. We all fell in love with Devin Lloyd with the big Duval at the draft and his enthusiasm for being here, and I want Chad Mumma to be a superstar. I have nothing against anybody here. But, man, the allocation of resources to realize you're spending four picks to hold down one spot and – you wonder, where is the talent base of this team? Well, there's part of the reason why it's not where it needs to be right now.
Yeah, and they got a locker room where on the defensive side of the ball, who can stand up and say anything to anybody right now? Is there anybody? I mean, Josh Allen isn't playing well enough
right
to be that guy. You would hope that he would be that guy. Devin Lloyd, with the amount of investment you had in him and the way he was playing early on in the season, looked like he could turn into one of those guys. Now you're limiting his snaps so that you can get Chad Mumma on the field, right? Like, who is the guy that in the defensive meeting rooms can stand up and say, here's what we got to do to turn this thing around? They are so deficient in coverage right now, and it's not like they're getting after the passer either. It's on both ends of it.
Foyer,
right.
Maybe. I'm just guessing. Yeah. I mean, look, I don't know the answer.
Yeah.
I'm just saying, like, he's not primarily responsible as a back-end coverage guy or as a pass rusher.
No, and that's usually one of those guys who's going to be the voice in the locker room. It's going to be someone you have drafted and developed or is an already established star in the league. Like, J.J. Watt can be that guy in Arizona. Right, he can stand up. He's got the respect of the locker room from the moment he gets to his feet. I don't know that there's even that kind of guy on the entire defense right now here in Jacksonville.
May not be.
And that Josh Allen and Devin Lloyd, who I think fans even would have pointed to and said, yeah, it's going to be one of those two guys. That'll be that guy for this defense ultimately for the Jaguars this season. They can't be. Right now, neither one of them are playing well enough that anyone would listen to anything they have to say on that side. And I do, you know, and when we talk to Jeff next week, I want to ask him about this. Have they changed the way that they play coverage over the course of this season? Were they playing more just straight-up man coverage stuff with their linebackers, especially early on in the year, and then started to bring in more and more of this zone matchup stuff, this matchup zone that they're doing? And look, Devin Lloyd just isn't very good at it. He's not good at it, and it's ultimately, it's resulting in him having to have his snaps limited so that Chad Muma can play more. It's defensively, they are in a weird, weird spot right now. And you got to get ready to defend Lamar Jackson and this Ravens offense on top of that this week. At least you have 2 weeks to get prepared for it. So maybe there's some stuff you can put in.
Hopefully so. Look, again, I want them both to succeed, but it right now, it's hard to envision them both succeeding at the same time to the level that you would like based on the draft pick investment. It's a dangerous game to play because you can go back and do this every year, no matter how well you drafted. But if you don't trade up for Devin Lloyd and you sit there and Muma's waiting for you in round three, when you start to look at what you could have had with those picks, if you wanted a receiver to stretch the field, Christian Watson was sitting there, George Pickens was sitting there. Either one of them fit that bill. If you want, look, they drafted Snoop Connor in round five. How about Damian Pierce in round four? Are you kidding? How much better that selection would have been right now?
For sure, yeah.
Or Cade Otton, the young tight end who went with the exact pick that the Jags traded at the top of the fourth round. Those are just the first couple of selections right there. And would you be any worse off with Muma as a full-time linebacker right now instead of being in a timeshare with Devin Lloyd? I don't know that you would. Again, I hope Devin Lloyd gets it figured out and becomes a superstar, but you need to. If you're going to give up that kind of draft capital, you're making that move to say this guy is a difference maker, and he started off his career looking like he would be, but you got to question that at this point in time.
I can understand when you have a player like Devin Lloyd who you invested that capital in and he's not available throughout much of training camp in the preseason, right? He's got the hamstring injury. Everything he's doing is just learning to the side, essentially through your training camp. So then he goes into the lineup and you put him in a position to do what he does well. Cover a guy. If we're going to ask you to play coverage, you're playing man coverage against this guy, tight end. That's your guy. Mm-hmm. Go cover him. He's fine doing that, even does that pretty well, ultimately, as a linebacker. But that allows him to just be him on the field. I think we have the discussion about Trayvon Walker, right? And how much improvement can you realistically expect in the last seven games from Walker? I think any improvement's going to come in the offseason. Right now, you have to allow him to do what he does, right? He's going to be okay in run defense, and he's going to go straight at the guy in front of him. That's what he's got, and it's what he's going to give you for the final seven games, and he's probably going to run into a couple of sacks over the course of the last couple weeks. That's what I expect to happen with Trayvon Walker the last 7 weeks, and that's okay if that's the way that the season's going to end for him if he picks something up going into next year, right? And you see real improvement going from year one to year two with Trayvon Walker. I don't understand if you were doing things that worked and Devin Lloyd was excelling for you in the defense early on in the year, why are you changing what you're asking him to do?
Because
if that's
what's
probably
happening, not working for other guys.
We'll
right?
see. Yeah.
And that's my guess, right? If you're playing a lot of man, that's good for Devin Lloyd. Obviously, you're switching up from that because there are more guys than Devin Lloyd that are struggling with that, right? And it's got they got to feel that it's a net benefit.
Mm-hmm.
That even if it impacts him negatively, it's going to help player X, Y, and Z, and the overall benefit is going to be greater. I don't
why
know. Else would
yeah.
you do it?
Yeah,
right?
I don't know.
I mean, because obviously he came out like gangbusters as defensive rookie of the month to open up his career.
Absolutely,
and you think,
well,
if that's where you're starting with no training camp, it can only go up. And we know that's not always the case, but to see that this is the situation now going for the rest of the season, that he's a rotational player with Chad Muma, mm-hmm. and to what degree that'll be. Well, last game it was 60-40 in favor of Lloyd. We'll see going forward here. Some other things that Doug Peterson mentioned this morning as areas they'd like to improve upon over the final seven games of the season. Again, these coming from various Twitter feeds of Jaguar media. Pass rush and assignments in coverage. Offensive issues in the red zone and inconsistency on third down. Yes, 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 yes. Right? Like all these things, especially, I mean, offensive issues in the red zone have been evident since week one. And I don't know if you're going to get them ironed out in the final seven games of the year. I hope so. Inconsistency on third down. I don't know. How do you fix that, Tone? I mean, throw the ball more accurately. Catch the ball cleaner. Get open on your, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
I mean, it's, what is there something you're going to try differently? When you say inconsistency, are you just saying that the players are just not executing, that the plays are there and they're not executing well enough in those circumstances? That might be it. Pass rush? What pass rush?
Right.
Half the time, right? I mean, and assignments and cut. I mean, whew, these are some major, like, building block kind of things.
Yeah, these are foundational things.
Correct.
Yeah.
You know, this is not like we're going to tweak this one area, you know, when we're in nickel, when, you know, we're in this coverage, we have trouble handing off the guy from this level of the defense to the other. These are pretty broad areas. We need better pass rush. We need to better offensively in the red zone. We need to be better on third down. It's like every coach will tell you this mm-hmm. since the dawn of time, that these are major areas you need to concern yourself with.
No doubt. And the fact that they're not wrong.
No, right. Like right, but it's just
he's not
you
wrong.
Hate that it's so broad.
Right, and it's not wrong that they're deficient in these areas right now either, right? Like it's all what is happening with the football team, and I'm not sure what the answers to any of that are. They feel like they're going to help themselves by playing Chad Muma more. Okay, we'll see if that works for them. I don't know what that does for your pass rush. I mean, if Josh Allen is going to stay in this kind of slump for the rest of the season, then they're not going to get after the passer anyway. None of this is going to matter.
Yeah.
You know, like, it's just, it's not going to matter because I don't expect Trayvon Walker to take a big step up in the last seven games of the season. I expect way more out of Josh Allen than they're getting, and they were getting way more out of Josh Allen a month ago. They just were. It's been so bad from him the last 3 weeks of this season, and they have to get him back to where he was at the beginning of this year if they're going to have any kind of chance to get after the passer. You can't have, look, as much as I like DeJuan Smoot, and I do, I think he's a really solid NFL defensive lineman, but he can't be your best defensive lineman. That can't be it.
Yeah.
You know, like, you can't invest what you've invested in Josh Allen and Trayvon Walker and DeJuan Smoot, your best player, halfway through the year.
Correct.
That just can't be the case. And that's
and if it
at.
Is, then that's why you're a 3-17 that is still talking about the fundamental of needing a better pass rush at this stage.
Yeah.
By the way, Doug Peterson quoted the saying this morning, "I still believe everything's right in front of us. Seven games. It's a new season for us. It's an opportunistic year." Yes. Those opportunities do exist, right? There are seven more opportunities to get a win this year. You have a chance to go 10-7. No one believes you're going to go 10-7. I don't think you yourself believe you're going to go 10-7 this year. But yeah, I get it. Like
the way you have to carry it. It's
of
the way he carried it from the moment he got in the building. That can't change now.
No, I'm not saying it should. I'm just saying this is, you know, where we're at right now. And he's accurate in saying there's still plenty of opportunities out there, but you've let so many of those go by the wayside. I mean, even the Kansas City game, every game they've had a chance to win this year to some degree. KC being the least close one.
Yeah, that's the point differential discussion we were having yesterday.
Right.
They have a point differential of a team that ought to have won five or six games.
That ought to at least have won five or six games,
right?
And should be in serious playoff contention.
And then these last seven games are completely different inside and outside the building. Like, and he's saying the things that I think he should be saying inside the building, but outside the building, the conversation would be different too. Yeah, let's go.
Honestly, it all comes down to Tony. Instead of saying we're going to work on this, we're going to work on this, and we're going to work on this, and these are all things you need to work on, We just need to make some plays in the fourth quarter when it really matters. You know, like everything we've done has been good enough to put us in position to win pretty much every game this year. Let's throw the Kansas City game out. All right, you're not going to win every game, right? But every other game was a one-point margin of defeat that you lost, and you just it's a play or two here or there. Even with the mistakes, even with the pass rush, you know, you can have an anemic pass rush if you come up with one or two big plays at the right time.
Sure.
Right?
And it's harder.
Hard, but you have shown that you're in contention every week playing at the level you're playing at.
Mm-hmm.
If you could just make the critical plays when it matters most, and that's what's – and at times, they've made some of those plays. At times, they've driven down on offense – and they've gotten that score, and then they've given up defensively. At other times, the defense has gotten stops, given the offense opportunities, and they haven't responded. So it's not like it's you're just pointing the finger at one guy or group of players or one position group.
Yeah. It's not New England and the Jets coming out of that game and the defense looking at the offense going, what the heck are you doing?
No.
Right?
Like, no, it shouldn't
be. They've never quite been stuck in that hole. Maybe a little bit after the Houston game, the defense could have. But I think it's a sign of – the locker room hasn't even tilted in that direction here yet this season, even when they've had moments like that where one side of the ball or the other could have pointed fingers.
Right.
And maybe that's because both sides of the ball know the finger can be pointed right back at them in another game.
Yeah, that's kind of it to me, right? Yeah. Like, there have been instances where you look at it like, you know, I don't know. Still, even the Denver game, I think, you know, you only gave up 21 points. That's a lot for Denver to score. But it's not a lot by NFL standards. Yeah.
They gave up to the tight end on those two drives.
But then again, the defense gave up 34 to the Colts after shutting him out the first game.
Yep.
Right? And you scored 27 in that game. If you had said going into week six, we're going to score 27 on the Colts, are we winning? You'd been like, yeah, by two touchdowns.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, so it has gone both ways a little bit. All right, halfway home. We'll take a break right here. John Osier from Jaguars.com is going to join us coming up in hour number two. If you would like to be a part of the program, the easiest way to do it is pick up the phone and call 641-1010. The Chad and Sandy Real Estate question of the day, asking you, what are you most thankful for as a Jacksonville Jaguars fan? This is Jaguars Today on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
Oh, Knows with Jaguars.com's John Osier.
Brought to you by
Kingfish Pest Control, proud partner of the Jacksonville Jaguars
on 1010XL.
All right, Johnny O is in the house. From Johnny O to Johnny 3-8 now in our Jaguars Today Fantasy League. Osh.
I'm hot. The guys have figured it out, Mike.
Have they? They've come together.
They're not turning the ball over in the red zone anymore.
Player only meeting.
Big win.
You finally beat somebody that's not in this room. In a fantasy league.
You're beating Tony and E.T.
Yeah. It's important to be able to win outside the division.
Yeah.
So that's
all right.
That's big. So, yeah, big.
My team's fading in that league, man. I can't catch a break in that
league. But I'm Johnny too late.
I may be. Combined, we're pretty strong, though. Combined, we have eight wins.
If we combine our team.
I want to say I was like 5-1 at one point, but not so much now. Maybe 5-2.
I'm building for next year now.
All right, well, it's always important to lay a foundation,
that's right,
John, that you can build upon for the following year. Happy Thanksgiving to you and
you
yours.
You as well. You, Tony.
Thank you.
We'll just talk about Doug Peterson, and I don't think it's a great surprise talking about the rotation at linebacker. Mm-hmm. We expect to see more of Chad Muma in the second half, John. And look, we all want Chad Muma to succeed. We all want Devin Lloyd to succeed. But, man, you look at this now, and it just kind of dawned on me this morning. You spent four draft picks to fill one position is what you're doing here. These two guys are manning one spot.
Okay, I got you. Yeah.
Right?
Yeah,
you gave three picks up to go get Devin Lloyd.
And then you use one of Muma.
And another premium pick, a third rounder, to get Muma, and now these guys are in a two-man timeshare, it sounds like.
Yeah, certainly you hope moving forward that Lloyd – is a guy, I mean, at some point he has to be a guy who starts and you don't take him out of the lineup. And he has to be at that position. You should be playing 100% of the snaps if you're playing well. So this is a way for them to try to get him going, get his confidence back up, and I guess get his mind settled a little bit, because I think that was a big part of the problem against the RPO schemes and against everything, just sort of believing what he was seeing, knowing what he was seeing. So you hope that that calms the mind down. And, you know, I can't sit here and say it's ideal because it's not, but yeah, it's where they are.
With whoever you've had the opportunity to talk to there in the building over the course of the season, you know, talking about Devin Lloyd and the things that he's not trusting his eyes, whatever that situation is, what changed? Because that didn't feel like it was a big problem early on in the year, but it's become a bigger and bigger problem over the course of the last month.
I think it probably just perhaps didn't get noticed because he was making plays early, and that's the thing with Devin. There's still that playmaking ability, and he was defensive player of the month, defensive rookie of the month in September, largely based on some turnovers he created. And so the turnovers have still sort of kept happening at times because he's got that playmaking ability. I think it's just overall the moments where it's not being figured out have been damaging enough that they need to get it fixed with Muma.
Well, the Jags in recent years obviously had struggles with their first-round picks, right? And not everyone, but plenty that have not lived up to it. But at least we're not in the position where we're benching our top two selected quarterback from last year.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, and all the Jets fans try to tell you, we got the real one last year. We didn't want Trevor. Yeah, sure you didn't. And we picked Zach Wilson, who is now officially benched by the New York Jets.
Well, and I think we had the discussion with, you know, the fringe part of this fan base a few weeks ago that had mentioned maybe it would be better for Trevor if they set him down for a couple weeks. And what is your gut reaction when you hear the New York Jets are benching Zach Wilson?
That he's not the long-term answer.
Right.
He may start again, but he's not the long-term answer.
That's what you're saying.
You always
right?
worry about the fringe part of
right.
the
Right, like the fringe part of the fan base that said it. But
lunatic fringe.
It's more of a lesson learned. Right, like the reaction to Zach Wilson being benched this week is going to be, is he ever going to be the guy for the Jets? Right, like that's the signal you send up when you bench a guy that you draft that highly and play as soon as you can. It's not like you said, you know what, we'll wait and see what's going to happen with him. Let him develop a little bit his rookie year, see what happens, you know, down the road when he's comfortable, we'll get him in the lineup. No, he's in the lineup, sink or swim, young man.
Yeah.
And benching him says he's sinking. We got to do something else.
Yeah, I don't know enough about that particular situation to speak in detail on it, but usually with usually you're the quarterback until you're not, and then once you're not, it's tough to get it back and be the franchise guy at that place. Now, Zach Wilson's young enough where it certainly wouldn't shock you to see him go back into the starting lineup and have the right things said moving forward, but
right.
Is there ever going to be that feeling again and that reality? You know, usually that doesn't get reeled back. That's not the right word for it, but usually that doesn't come back, Mike.
And I don't know, John, how you get better as a backup quarterback, honestly, because the reps
right.
just aren't there for you, right? Teams during the season are preparing to win that week's
right.
game. They are not sitting there going, man, let's get off on this side field and see if we can't drag Zach Wilson up to where he needs to be. I mean, there's
right.
coaching that goes on. But the focus
time
is now off
intensive.
You.
I mean, now people ask me this about Trayvon Walker all the time. It was a topic in the Ozone this week. Well, if he's struggling or if he needs to develop pass rush moves, why aren't they doing that right now? Why aren't they spending money? Well, they are to a point. You spend time during practice, during individual, working on the things you're talking about. And Zach Wilson, same thing. But you've got 2 days of practice, really, Wednesday and Thursday, where it's hardcore, which we would think of as football practice. And you've got to prepare during that time. You've got a game plan. So there's not time, even for a quarterback. You put him on the scout team, well, he's not running your offense.
Correct.
So your point is absolutely dead on.
I think it's even more exaggerated with the quarterback position. Like Trayvon Walker, to me, could spend 15 minutes every day after practice. And maybe he does.
He does.
I know. Right.
Right.
Like, but he can spend 15 minutes a day with one of those big quarterback simulate, you know, the things
sure.
where they simulate you coming around the edge and smack the ball out of the quarterback's hand, and he could spend some time with his linebackers coach or defensive line coach or whatever working on some pass rush moves. My issue is I don't know how long that takes for that stuff to click in. You know what I mean? Does it take an entirety of an offseason for you to be comfortable like, okay, I'm starting to get this, but I'm working on this literally maybe 30 minutes a day,
right.
And
one-on-one.
Now I get it. I've seen it. I've seen what has to work. I've had
And it's
time.
Different when there's someone across from you. It's a human, not a dummy.
Right.
Right. And they're moving and reacting to you reacting to them. Like, it's just completely different. And you can work on technique over and over and over again, but that's not the same as a game.
Right.
And especially to your point with quarterback.
Yeah.
You're not getting reps against 11 guys moving, calling schemes against you. So,
and like you said, you're not running your offense.
Right.
You're not even running your offense. You're not working with your main guys. You know, they're. Man.
It's not live. And we all know practice is great. That game situation live is a different beast. If you're not getting those reps.
Here's the thing. And Trevor Lawrence has played very well the last couple times out, right? So I'm not it's not good enough to be better than Zach Wilson, right? We know that. And nobody's saying that that's the bar, right? I'm just saying, man, imagine how much worse it could have been had a game – or two gone a different way.
Right.
You know, that set you up for the second pick that year.
I got you. Yeah. Trevor, even in a couple of really bad games, for the most part, 8 or 9, where there have been stretches where you're like, okay, I see it. So
there have been. What I want to see him do, though, now, instead of stacking two really good ones together, stack 5. You know what I mean? Like go and play that way. Even win or lose, just go and play where you protect the ball, but you are still making plays down the field. Let's see that average passing total creep up around 300 every week.
Right.
You know, start getting multiple touchdowns passing every week. Keep the interceptions low. I just want to see, like, we saw him. We thought, man, John, maybe after week 3, wow, this guy is accelerated the timetable, right? Mm-hmm. And then we got a little ahead of ourselves,
sure.
Right? But I think now that's what I want to see in these last 7 games. I don't want to see these peaks because we're coming off a peak. And I don't want to see it drop down. I want to see him at least be up there. I mean, his good games, he's 70%+ completion percentage.
Right.
His other ones, he's below 60.
Right.
Right. And
do it enough where we're not talking about it.
Correct.
You know,
So it's not a topic. It's like, how did Trevor play today? We're always going to talk about that.
Sure.
But it's not the yo-yo of
where you're not sort of holding your breath.
Down.
Okay, there's another one. Okay, there's another good one.
Right.
You know,
we got to get to that. Right.
That's expected.
I'm still waiting to get to that point for me personally.
It's fair.
You know, get another, a third, a fourth, a fifth out there.
Where you trust it.
And then you'll be like, hey, right. Then he has that week where he's got like an 85 quarterback rating. You're like, all right, it's not a big deal.
Right, maybe the defense did something.
Yeah, whatever.
Yeah, so I got you.
All right, so let's take a timeout here. If you'd like to get in, you're welcome to right now at 641-1010 on the phone lines or on the text line designed by Lifetime Enclosures. The Chad and Sandy Real Estate question of the day, which we will all weigh in on. What are you most thankful for as a Jaguars fan, specifically because of the Jaguars being around here in Jacksonville, Florida? Mike Dempsey, Tony Smith, Johnny O, and E.T., you're listening to Jaguars Today on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
It's time for Oh No's with Jaguars.com's John Osher.
Oh No.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. Brought to you by Kingfish Pest Control, proud partner of the Jacksonville Jaguars.
All right, Eve of Thanksgiving. Any good Eve of Thanksgiving traditions other than Jaguars Today going hard for 2 hours? What? Huh?
No, not really.
No? All right, me either.
We used to call it amateur night when I was going out.
That's what
it is.
I always called New Year's Eve amateur night.
There's that too. Yeah.
And St. Patrick's Day. Those are the two that are
Thanksgiving night was always like all the college kids were home and it was always just kind of chaotic. And it was fun when you were a college kid.
Oh, absolutely. You got together. When you get home, you get home early. You get home.
It was great. Yeah.
It was fantastic.
Yeah. And then that ended.
It did. It all comes to an end eventually.
And I got old.
Yep. I'm right there with you.
Now another night.
We're going to watch the series finale of Andor today.
Mm-hmm.
That's been good. Like, I'm not a big Star Wars aficionado, but that's been really good.
Yeah.
So,
I haven't watched any of it yet.
And Spielberg's got some movie out that my son wants to see.
Okay.
Kind of about, I think it's more like a documentary about him, something like that. So
that'd be cool.
We're going, I don't know if it'll be cool or not, but we're going to go see that tonight. As long as my son wants to do something with me, I'll probably do that if it doesn't involve, you know, criminal activity.
As long as somebody wants to be around me.
In particular, my son. Yes, random, he's 18.
I hear you.
Anything,
yeah.
You know, because he goes, he called, we always talk on Mondays, and he called and he goes, hey, how do you feel if we go to the movie on Wednesday night?
I'm like, to, uh,
Who are you inviting?
Right.
Like, you mean you and your pack of 20 friends?
Right.
Or he goes, oh, no, you and mom. I'm like, yes.
You said,
yes, whatever it is.
May I ask who's calling, please?
Right. Who's on the phone? Who is this? Who are you calling?
I'll
for?
That. Yeah.
All right. So,
The Fablemans, whatever that is.
Is that what it's called?
That's the name of the movie, yeah.
All right. That's what we're going to see. So,
yeah. But that's good. I bet you enjoy it.
It might be. I'll enjoy spending time with the family. Sure. Honestly, you know what I'll really enjoy? I'm such a simple Thanksgiving. If the voting didn't show this yesterday, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, the more complicated the dish was, less likely it was to get my vote. We did a Thanksgiving cook-off, right? 7 courses, by the way.
Yeah.
It's pretty nice.
There's plenty of food. No
right? I mean, like,
that.
You're
yeah.
just taking a bite of each thing, and you're like, dang, man, that's 14 bites.
Was Logman involved?
Logman was not involved.
No. Oh, really? Okay.
And as he brings us, like, he brought us some, like, zucchini bread. I didn't have the heart to tell him that.
It had game in it. It had, like, live
like, yeah, dude, like blood, animal blood. And but, like, I don't need zucchini in my bread.
Right.
You know what
yeah,
I mean?
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
I want wheat in my bread, but,
he gets
you
know, fired up about the food. Well,
he certainly
his passion
does.
Is impressive.
I mean, it was fine. I couldn't taste any zucchini in it.
It was good.
It was all right.
Yeah.
But we're actually, my mother-in-law fell
oh.
and broke her kneecap, right, last week. Terrible for yeah. anybody. She's 83, right? So, you know, and yeah. it broke it bad enough that she needed to have it surgically repaired. Okay. And so she did that, came out, and they live in like a retirement community, you know, but they have their own house. Mm-hmm. But there's a medical rehab facility right there. It's like 100 yards away
right.
from the house, right? So she's staying there for like 2 weeks. So we're going to eat there. We're going to eat Thanksgiving dinner there. Oh, you can just imagine mm. how plain that institutional food's going to be, buddy.
Oh,
and that,
sure,
I'm all
yeah.
about that.
Okay.
I just need sliced turkey, some mashed potatoes that are not runny.
Gravy.
A little bit of gravy.
Yep.
I don't really need anything beyond that.
Okay.
You know, maybe a dinner roll to sop it all up.
I got to have some dressing.
That's
I
it.
Some dressing thrown
a little bit. But, you know, like yesterday, Matt Hayes won, but he had like crawfish in his. That's not Thanksgiving dressing to me. I don't know.
That's
man.
True. Yeah,
you know,
yeah,
so
yeah.
I like the more like.
Beets.
Just regular, normal, right down the line kind of stuff.
I can't
remember
how I had a beet.
It was good. I mean,
that's
with the crawfish in there, it was good. Yeah.
It was all right, I yeah. suppose. I don't know.
We have like regular dressing and oyster dressing every year at Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
And the oyster is way better. Like, it just is.
That's fine.
It's wonderful.
And my wife's big on having raw oysters at the holidays. Like,
really?
Yeah. I mean, and it's gotten to the point where I like that.
Really?
I have to.
You feel amorous?
No.
On the holidays? What?
And other than that, I just like the taste of oysters.
Okay.
Uh-huh.
Good. Josh, like you are treading too close to personal territory.
I am just I was a guy getting by.
All right. We will let's get by to Jags Ravens here coming up, but before we do that, let's let Tony Smith take you around the National Football League.
Now, gems around the NFL, brought to you by Beaches Jewelry and Pawn in Jack's Beach.
We were discussing this during the last segment, but Adam Schefter tweeting out here in the last 15 minutes that during a team meeting, Jets players were informed that Zach Wilson is not starting their game this week against the Chicago Bears. Wilson had a 5-2 record as a starting quarterback this year, with both losses coming against the Pats, and now he's going to be benched. The Los Angeles Rams have waived their leading rusher, Darrell Henderson. Henderson only played 4 snaps on Sunday after playing at least 40% of the team's offensive snaps in every other game this season, except for the 1 week that he missed. The Carolina Panthers have named quarterback Sam Darnold as their starter this week going up against the Denver Broncos. Welcome back, Sam. Here's the toughest defense in the league. The Denver Broncos have placed running back Chase Edmonds on their injured reserve with an ankle injury. Arizona wide receiver Greg Dortch was scheduled to undergo an MRI on Tuesday to look at an injured thumb. And Cardinals wide receiver Rondale Moore left their game on Monday night after just one play with a groin injury. Cliff Kingsbury did not have any update on Rondale Moore when he spoke on Tuesday.
Tony Smith setting that record with that -0.6
yeah.
from Rondale Moore in the Breakfast Bowl, baby.
What a loser!
What a loser. Don't be a loser. Call E.T., at 207-7071. We're going to remind you a couple more times today because we won't be here for the next couple of days. Get on his come on somebody call in line and just, you know, tell us how you're feeling coming out of the bye week with the Thanksgiving holiday and all that. 207-7071.
Come on, somebody.
Come on, everybody. Huh. Let's get Glenn at the Beaches up and see what's on his mind this morning. Glenn, you're on Jaguars Today. Good morning.
Hey, guys. Good morning and happy holidays to you guys. Real quick, I just wanted to share my gratitude and we asked what we're grateful for
about
the Jaguars being here. And, you know, number one, having grown up here and knowing what this town was like in the 60s and the 70s, which I promptly moved away, I'm super grateful for the change in culture that the Jaguars brought here with outside money and outside influence. But more than that, I got season ticket day one, and my son was 7 years old, and he got to grow up with heroes and football in his face, and we still to this day go to home games together, and he's 33 years old. What a blessing that is, and what a joy it's been, even through the bad times.
That's awesome, man. Yeah, that's great. I thought for a second you might tell us, and then my son never spoke to me again after he turned 18. He left the house. And he hit the road. That's great, Glenn. It's congrats on being a lifer, by the way, mm-hmm. from day one with the season tickets. But I think for a lot of people, sharing those experiences, whether it's friends or family, it's the shared experience. You want it to always be mm-hmm. shared experience of victory, but it's I think just the bonding that people get from that communal experience that probably tops a lot of people's lists.
Yeah, and I haven't really had that because I've always been working the games, but I certainly can relate to I grew up here in the 70s, was in college around in the 80s. I remember the experience of getting the team. I know it's not enough to not win, but the what the team has brought to the city, it's a different city with the Jaguars.
I agree with that. Glenn, thank you for the call there. Any interest if he were to slide past the first eight teams in the priority in putting in a claim on Daryl Henderson?
Yeah.
Why not?
Yeah.
Right?
You need help at running back.
Yeah.
Why not?
I mean, his contract can't be that expensive. He's got to be on a rookie deal, right?
Yeah.
So I imagine he won't make it to the Jags is my guess. I think he can play. He's not maybe an every down back, but you're not looking for an every down back mm-hmm. on your
looking
team.
For complimentary.
Yeah, and he's been a guy that – you know, you can give him 10, 12 carries if need be. He can catch the ball out of the backfield. He's not a big guy by any stretch. But, like, to me, like, I don't know how they feel because they like Jermichael Hasty's speed. I think Daryl Henderson is a pretty quick player. Mm-hmm. But I think just overall, he's got a ton more experience. I think he's a little bit more versatile, running between the tackles than Hasty would be. And, you know.
And considering what I think the contract would be, it makes sense.
Yeah, it'd be not much, and it'd just give you a little bit of insurance down the stretch. It's not like he's going to change the future direction of your right. franchise or anything like that. I'm guessing he might even be in the last year of his rookie deal. He was after the first-round guy, probably signed a three-year contract, so he's probably got just the remainder of this season out there.
I believe that's correct. I'm looking at the combine. He was a 4.49 guy.
Okay.
With a 33.5-inch vert. He's been okay as a receiving back this season as well, so maybe he gives you a little something in that area too that maybe Hasty does or doesn't give you. It's just, if you're not going to play your draft pick, they got to do something with that room, mm-hmm. right? Like, it's just Hasty's not giving them enough that they don't need to take advantage of opportunities to improve that room when they're presented to them, and Henderson feels like one of those.
Now, they didn't put in a claim for Benjamin,
right,
so maybe they feel differently about it, but I feel like you're walking a little bit of a tightrope with the ETN. The drop off probably at a number of positions for this football team, but that's one where it's very, you go from having a guy that you feel like can get you 100 any given week to, are we going to have a running game whatsoever, and can our guys hold up to the workload? So something to keep an eye on. We'll come back. Let's talk about the Jags-Ravens, how we're feeling about it. I know it's only Wednesday, but kind of project ahead to Sunday how we feel about their chances to get their fourth win of the season. And we'll answer today's question of the day as well as look at your responses sent in on social media asking you, what are you most thankful for as a Jacksonville Jaguars fan? This is Jaguars Today on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
Oh, no. Knows with Jaguars.com's John Osher. Brought to you by
Kingfish Pest Control, proud partner of the Jacksonville Jaguars.
On 1010XL.
All right, our last segment with Johnny O before the Thanksgiving holiday. John, what does Jaguars.com have to offer over the next few days?
Well, we have one final Huddle Up podcast with J.P. Shadrick and Bucky Brooks. And then we'll be back all of the Ozone podcast, which we'll post Friday with Andre Cisco. And I've done one podcast in that ilk with him last year, but it was by Zoom and he wasn't really starting that much. So I'm looking forward to talking to him about some things.
Yeah.
That'll be good.
Yeah.
Good kid.
I get it, man. I think the NFL tries to send a message to anytime a big hit is delivered, but I'm not happy that they fined him about that hit. I'm really not. Like, I felt like he pulled up, clearly wasn't going in there to wreck. You want to hit somebody hard, but led with the shoulder.
It's hard. I get what you're saying. They have to have these rules because you got to protect. But when a player looks like he's trying to do the right thing and does.
And the other guy ducks his head.
Yeah.
And I don't know what literally he was allowed to do
on
that play.
What this rule doesn't allow is a acceptable answer to the question, what else could they have done sometimes?
Yeah.
And that's what.
The reason it bugged me is because a lot of Kansas City fans after the game were like, oh, it's so dirty, such a dirty play. And I'm like, oh, my gosh. You want to talk about homerism.
No,
like
it's
that
a football play.
It was a football play. You could say did it cross the line into being deserving of a penalty flag? I don't think so. That's why a penalty flag was not thrown. But to call it a dirty play and then to get backed up in a sense by saying, well, see, the NFL fined him, so it must have been a dirty play. I don't know. I'm not having it.
The NFL is trying to cover all their bases.
I think that's what it is, right? Like, we want to send a message anytime a guy gets hurt, on one of these hits, if it's borderline at all.
We'll fine him.
Whether it's your fault or not.
We're okay with him not being penalized in that moment. We're going to fine him.
Right. So, anyway. All right. Let's take a look at the Chad and Sandy Real Estate question of the day, which simply asked you, what are you most thankful for as a Jacksonville Jaguars fan? Let's give him a 10-10 takey.
10-10
take.
Now the 10-10 take with Mike Dempsey, brought to you by Northern Tool. Start solving your projects today at northerntool.com. We're made for this.
All right, let's go around the table here. Tony, why don't you lead us off? I think you and I probably give similar answers every year, but that's all right. That's because that's what we're thankful for.
That being able to answer this question as a career is unbelievable, right? The opportunities that the Jaguars being here and doing this show and the people that I've had the opportunity to meet over the years, to work with over the years. Mike, you know I love you. And it's the working relationships I have with you and E and the people in this building. It's absolutely unbelievable, the opportunity to interact with the Jaguars fan base the way that we get to on a daily basis. And we said it from the moment we started doing this show. We wanted this show to feel like a billboard for the fans, a community for the Jaguars fans to come together in a place every day where they could talk about the thing that's important to them, Jacksonville Jaguars football, for 2 hours a day. We hope we've provided that for you, and we look forward to providing it for you still going into the future. Thank you.
I really thought he was going to say the extra 2 days off. I totally misread that. No, I'm kidding. Very nicely said, Tony. E.T., what you got?
It's just similar to Tony. Being a fan is what really landed me in this position right here. I get to come to talk to the city of Jacksonville about a team that I love. We're one of 32 cities that has a team. I get to scream Duval. I get to scream come on somebody, and everybody knows who I'm talking about. it just provides me a platform. Come on. I get to talk smack with Leon Searcy and Tony Boselli, and that's because of this platform and because we have a team. So that's what I'm most thankful for. And the people. Ain't nothing like Jags fans. I don't care what you say. I love them. I hope that the energy that I put out to them, that's what I get back. And, that's just what I love about the whole situation.
Yeah, you didn't get this job because you're a Jags fan. You got this job because you're great is what you did.
No doubt.
Johnny O, what you got?
Yeah, same deal. I mean, I have back and forth with people in the Ozone mailbag that, they sometimes get contentious and not criticize or whatever. But if you pull back from the big picture, having fans that are that passionate about the team and having loyal people who want to interact I never take that for granted. And so that's what I'm always thankful for with this job.
Yeah, look, there's so many aspects of it, right? Like Tony said, Tony and I have worked together for like 20 years.
Mm-hmm.
All right? And it's fantastic having that kind of working relationship. It's a phenomenal job. My wife always is like, shut up. You got it so good.
Right.
If I ever complain about anything, shut up. You got it so good. And I do. I love what I do. And I love, look, I love being a small part of the fabric of the crazy group that call themselves mm-hmm. Jaguar fanatics. You know,
good way
I
to
mean,
put it. Yep.
You know, just being a little piece of that whole experience, whether it's on social media, meeting people in person. We've met so many great people. I've made great friends that I hope are friends for a long time through the fact that we cover the Jacksonville Jaguars mm-hmm. and nothing else. You know, I mean, I remember when Steve Griffin came to me, Tony, like 9 years ago, whatever it is now, when we were doing an all sports show for 3 hours a day. And
yep.
it was really successful at the time and everything was going great. He said, do you want to? Yes. I almost couldn't get the sentence out of his mouth. Do you want to mm-hmm. do an all Jaguars show? Because we knew that is the passion we wanted to tap into here in the city of Jacksonville. And you guys have been so beaten down with lack of on-field success, yet the passion you continue to show is just inspiring, quite frankly. Mm-hmm. And so happy to be a part of that and thankful. So let's look at a few replies here. Then let's give our thoughts on this game coming up this weekend. From Cristiano, thankful for, despite living in another reality, the fact that being a Jaguars fan is such a meaningful aspect of my life. Scott said, only 32 teams. Thankful we're one of them and having an owner that's committed to Jacksonville. Thankful for Frank Gore giving us that Willie T offense, said Sport Johnson. Because, you know,
good one. I like
Willie
that.
Trevor. Absolutely. We're all thankful for Frank. Blessed to have a fandom, says Andrew, that I could pass on to my kids. We're teaching hope and resilience now, but one day we will get to share joy and victory in a game we love. I like it. I'm thankful, said JagFan15, that there feels like there's hope for the future. Shevin just said, having an NFL team. Desmond, it finally looks like we have a franchise quarterback and good running back. Other than that, not much. That's fine. At least get something to be thankful for. Many are thankful today that we don't have Zach Wilson as our quarterback, as Carl tweeted us.
Mike White, by the way, has been named the starter this week.
Excellent. My Superflex pickups on waiver wire this week. I predicted correctly which side that would come down on. We're also happy that Mike White is not our starting quarterback mm-hmm. this week for the Jacksonville Jaguars. Pops is happy for short-term memory loss. It comes in handy. Pops, there's no question about that. Leland says, not to sound like a suck-up or too sappy. Too late, Leland, but I'm most thankful for the Jaguars Today show that keeps me connected to the team I love despite living thousands of miles away. That's another cool aspect. I mean, just goes to show you, we like to say the sun never sets on Duval County, man. Mm-hmm. Jag fans are global. They really are. And I think that is absolutely outstanding that you've got fans in every corner of the globe, basically. All right. So, look, I look at Baltimore, tough defense. They're playing with momentum. They didn't mm-hmm. play well, I don't think, this past week. It was 3-3 with Carolina going to the fourth quarter. I just feel like despite their lack of offensive weapons, that Lamar Jackson's going to break this team's heart on third and nine a few times, right? With his running ability, he's going to pick up 12 on a key mm-hmm. third down here or there. And I just,
because he does it to everybody.
He does it to everybody. Right. Exactly. And, you know, I mean, you look back over recent years and I know this team is different. Every team's different, but I think back to like Marcus Mariota doing that to him. They, like, oh, my gosh. And this guy takes it to another level.
Beast.
I don't think this is a super high-scoring game. I got the Ravens winning this like 20-17 this week, Tone.
Yeah, I think the Jaguars this season have shown that they struggle more with the called quarterback run stuff than they do necessarily with the quarterback scrambling. I think that was an issue against Daniel Jones. This is Daniel Jones times 1,000 this week with Lamar Jackson. As far as the athlete at quarterback, I am curious to see what's going to happen with Ronnie Stanley this week because I do think that's a big X factor for that Ravens offense. They just don't run the ball nearly as well without him as they do with him in the lineup. So I do think that's a big factor for this football game, but we won't know that before we're off the air here in 10 minutes, right? Like, we don't know what the answer to that's going to
be. Now.
Right? That kind of thing. I picked the Jaguars to win this game before the season. When we went over the picks last week and we were saying final seven games, you get a vote, right? When we went through that whole thing with the four of us, mm-hmm. I picked them to win the game when we did that.
I hear a big butt coming.
I'm not very confident in it, but I'm not backing down.
That being said, yeah, comma.
No.
I got you picking them as an L before the season
started. I
thought I
picked them as a win. No, I'm picking them to win. I think they're going to find a way to beat the Ravens this week.
Okay.
I wouldn't be stunned if they win. I can't pick them to win, me and the Jags. Because I won't be stunned in any of the last seven games if they win, because I think so much of it is about how they play late in a game. But I think Lamar Jackson, as you pointed to, I think Lamar Jackson's the guy who makes a huge difference on third and eight. If the Ravens are trailing, he turns that into a touchdown kind of play, as well as Mahomes does. I think he's the second most dangerous quarterback this team plays this season. And the Ravens are good. They've led by 10 points in every game they've played this season. They gave away some early. I wouldn't be surprised if the Ravens are in the AFC Championship game, so I think they win.
They have a lot of momentum overall, I feel like. And there's no reason, by the way, Trevor Lawrence couldn't be that guy on third and seven to break your back with a 9-yard run. He's quite capable. He's not Lamar Jackson, but he's quite capable of doing that. So let's not rule out that possibility. I'm with you. I'm not going to be shocked. I picked them to lose by three. You can't be shocked if they win the football game, but I just...
I feel that way about every game left. I didn't think they'd compete against Kansas City. I think they'll be in every game. They just haven't shown that they're going to consistently win those in every game.
Oh, and I'm sure there'll be a few, barring a major wave of injuries, that'll pick them to win going forward here. But, boy, I just don't see it right now, although it could happen. E.T., what you got this week, man?
Man, if there's any game that I was going to pick on the season that I wanted to win, is this one, because there's a little 7-year-old little punk at the house.
Where's that Lamar jersey?
He knows way too much about football than he should, and he knows he know how to talk smack. So I got it. We got to get this dub.
So, all right, for that reason alone, we can't have Aiden running his mouth.
Yeah.
All right, it's bad enough that the Vikings, you know. Or did you get on his case about the Vikings last week because Justin Jefferson and company took that bad L?
Well, he just thinks he's in the camp that that's the best catch in the world and they can't
do it. Oh, so it doesn't matter what he did for a follow-up.
Exactly.
I
got it don't matter.
That makes sense. You
Everything that's happened in the last 5 years is the best thing ever.
That's a kid who went to the Mike Dempsey School of Debating. I appreciate that very much. All right, let's say hello to XL Primetime.
Now, the two-minute drill brought to you by Tire Outlet. Keeping the sports world spinning with wholesale prices and premium service. Tire Outlet, Jacksonville's largest locally owned automotive repair shop.
All right, Mia O'Brien is here. Hello, Mia. How are you?
Hello. Ding dong. Ding dong. Goodbye, Zach Wilson.
Yeah.
My day of content and memes has arrived.
By the time the Jags play the Jets, we make it like Chris Strebler, right?
Well,
they may be that far down the depth chart.
That's
that
who all my homies and my brother and up there, that's who they love the most. There was a lot of discourse in the aftermath of Adam Schefter's report this morning that Zach Wilson had been benched that, well, wait, are they going to start Joe Flacco? No, it'll be Mike White. With Joe Flacco, by the way, I'm not sure if you guys addressed this yet. Joe Flacco is the backup this Sunday for the Jets against the Bears, and Zach Wilson will be a healthy and active.
Yeah, well, as he should be. I mean, I pretty much probably lost the team with that one-word comment after the game, like, how dare you suggest. But I think that the Chris Trevor thing is like, we don't know how bad he is yet. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I think that's really what it comes down to.
So I'll ask you guys this, because we were just talking about it in our pre-show meeting. Let's say the Jets once again have 2 yards of offense in the second half with Mike White. Against the Bears.
Yeah, I doubt that's the case. Mike White will move the ball. The problem is he turns it over too much. He'll throw interceptions.
Either way, so let's say they lose. Do you go to Joe Flacco the next week?
It depends on how the offense – why did you lose? You know, did you lose because Mike White turned it over? Did you lose because you're so bad on third down? If you go out and lose 30-28
– Yeah, defense has an off week, you know, kind of thing.
Different thing, but I think Mike White.
I don't think they're going back to Zach Wilson next week.
Put it this way, anybody who's got Garrett Wilson in the fantasy league is like, thank God.
Yeah.
Thank God we're getting a quarterback change this week. What do you got coming up, Mia, on the show?
Oh, well, I'm sure you guys kind of dove a little bit into Doug Peterson's media availability this morning. Obviously, the big news coming out that Chad Muma, Devin Lloyd will be rotating snaps at inside linebacker this week. So we'll touch on that. Since it is a Wednesday, but it's basically a Friday, we'll make our picks. We have a three-way tie atop the leaderboard in the college football ranks. We also will be joined ran by Irish FL, and so we'll also talk Florida State, Florida.
All right, there you go. Full
thank
day.
You. Mia, yes,
thank
indeed.
You.
Happy thank
Thanksgiving.
You. Right back at you, boys.
All right, despite the fact that you served me Brussels sprouts.
Hey, listen.
Yesterday.
Listen. Well, so wait. So now the question is, so that's my one specialty because I really can't cook. But I've learned to cook. Mm-hmm. Guac. Is that okay in your realm? Next time I'll make guac.
Guacamole?
Yeah.
It's all right. It's better than Brussels sprouts.
I prefer Brussels sprouts.
But like, if your one specialty is like the one food that nobody wants to eat. Like that's.
But I put bacon on it.
I know, but that just goes to show you how bad Brussels sprouts are.
If it makes you feel better, my mom does that same recipe, but she puts grapes with it.
Hmm. That's
that's weird.
Gross.
I didn't do that to you. I didn't subject you to that. I put bacon in it. Bacon and cheese make everything better.
I tried.
My wife loves Brussels sprouts, and I'm like, okay, fine.
Yeah, they won. Tony voted for Brussels sprouts.
I like Brussels sprouts. What can I tell you?
I thought you said the wives win. The wives always win, Mike.
No. It was Mia versus Taylor.
Green beans was the other option.
Like cheese covered, though.
Yeah.
And she put enough cheese on them that I didn't taste the green beans. So I'm like, winner.
You can put cheese on anything.
That's what I did with the Brussels sprouts. We had honey goat cheese built in there and some Parmesan. Yeah.
If I could have just had whatever, I just would have had a pile of Joe Coward's turkey and Donna Murphy's mashed potatoes and that store-bought gravy, which is just fine. All right, there you go. XL Primetime is coming up next. John, happy Thanksgiving to you,
sir. You as well.
All right, Tony and E.T., happy Thanksgiving.
Happy Thanksgiving.
Likewise.
My two main dudes right there. We'll take the next couple days off. Call E.T. right now. Get it off your freaking chest, because you know you want to, at 207-7071. Leave E.T. a spirited message with your thoughts on the Jags. That's really all he's asking you to do, right? Could be predictions on the final seven games of the season. How are you feeling about the team coming out of the bye week? What are you thankful for as a Jags fan? Whatever the case may be, give a hearty Duval and a come on somebody in there and listen for your call to be featured in the come on somebody segment in the 10 o'clock hour on the Publix tailgate show this weekend.
Come on somebody.
Got you covered. All right. Happy Thanksgiving to my fellas. And all of you out there, appreciate all of you, seriously, even the ones I blocked on Twitter. I don't really appreciate you guys that much, but all the rest of you, we thank you very much for your Jaguar fandom and your support of this program. Hopefully we'll be back with a victory Monday. That would be nice. So for all of our hosts throughout the course of the week, happy Thanksgiving from all of us. Stick around. XL Primetime is next on 1010 XL and 92.5 FM.
So guess what? 10-10 is popping, and there won't be no stopping. Bang, bang, bang.